Our final speaker on this panel is Tracy Mulm, who is an organizer with Students for a Democratic Society at the University of Minnesota Twin Cities and is currently a full-time organizer for AFSCME 3800. Clerical Workers, which is the clerical workers at the U of M, University of Minnesota. In 2004, she had the privilege of traveling to Palestine on a solidarity trip organized by the Anti-War Committee and Internationals for Justice in Palestine. She was one of the activists whose home was raided on September 24th, received a subpoena, and then had her subpoena reactivated. Please give Tracy a warm applause.
At 7 a.m. on September 24th, five homes and the offices of the Anti-War Committee in Minneapolis were raided, and there are also two homes in Chicago. These raids happened in a coordinated effort, including over 50 agents throughout all of the various locations. As Deb said, my apartment is one of the places that was raided. My roommate and I were pulled out of our rooms. We were, along with the house guests, we were forced to sit on our couch, not allowed movement within our own apartment. We were accompanied to the bathroom. Anything that we wanted to do, we were watched. They took away my phone. I had to argue to be able to make phone calls to my work and to my lawyer friend. They wouldn't tell us where else these raids were happening. But thanks to their own stupidity, the walkie-talkies, we could hear them checking in. Kelly House, blah, blah, blah. Sundin House, they are requesting a lawyer. So, you know, you're cut off. We were absolutely cut off. And it was, you know, hearing that helped me know and helped my roommate and I know that we weren't alone in this. They took, when all of this was done, they had taken my phone, like I said. They took my computer, countless papers, notebooks, sign-in sheets from events, papers that I had, Fight Back newspaper. They took a whole stack because one is not enough, apparently. They took a scarf that I had gotten from an Arab restaurant in town. Obviously very terrorist there. In other homes, they took things like children's pictures. They took pictures of Martin Luther King. They took music CDs, books, and a lot of other things. Nothing that anybody else doesn't have in their home. By Monday, September 24th, there were a total of 14 subpoenas issued. These happened in Michigan, Chicago, and Minneapolis. Between all of the subpoenas, we were given the dates October 5th, 12th, and the 15th. The first date was only 11 days after our homes had been raided. We all pled the fifth via letter, asserting our right to free association and free speech, our right to dissent against the government that was now repressing us. Our subpoenas at that time were not canceled, but they were put on hold, which becomes even more significant when the day after elections, that you get a call telling you that your subpoena will be reactivated. Shortly after this time, as Jim and Sarah have said, there were nine new subpoenas issued in Chicago to Palestine Solidarity activists. They all were given the same date of January 25th, and all have also pled the fifth. For the three of us who have reactivated subpoenas, myself, Sarah Martin, and An Pham, the reactivation has meant that we all got individual lawyers, and they had to have meetings with Assistant Attorney Brandon Fox in Chicago here. Initially, the lawyers, has been our plan all along, want to do this collectively. This isn't a case about me. This isn't a case about Sarah. This is a case against the things that we believe in. But the attorney's office, the U.S. Attorney's office, would not allow it. In fact, their goal is, in fact, to separate us, to intimidate us, and to break the solidarity that we have been building throughout our time in the movement. These meetings are filled with lies and scare tactics to try to convince us through our lawyers to name names and criminalize the movements that we have worked to build. And even the work that we have been doing now to defend ourselves and to bring you all into the room today. From here, we believe that it won't be long before the next escalation happens. There's the possibility of more subpoenas, bringing more people into this witch hunt. We also know, as has been mentioned several times, there have been more visits, and we believe that that will probably continue. There's also the threat of imposing immunity, and I know they call it offering immunity, but make no mistake, there's no offer. You don't talk and you could go to jail. And so, the deal is you get the choice again. and you get a date, and they offer you, and they impose immunity. They tell you if you don't talk, you very possibly will be found in contempt of court and jailed for the length of the grand jury. In our case, this could be as long as August of 2012. So I potentially have, as all of us do, temporary housing at the MCC here in Chicago. There's even recently actually been a case where a person who refused to talk to the grand jury was given 11 years in jail. It's not very likely, but that's in the realm of possibilities that we're looking at. Lastly, as has been mentioned, there will probably be indictments, meaning federal charges. It's clear that there will be multiple indictments, so more than one, could be as many as 23 or more. I mean, we just don't know. The people indicted, once you get an indictment, you're brought to jail. And this could either be another very unfriendly knock at the door, or it can be told that you have to show up at a jail of their choosing. We're hoping that there will be the possibility of bail, but again, that's up to the powers that we don't have control over. Bail in this case is the cost of a house. Many of us have had to figure out either putting our own houses, asking parents or other people to put up a house for our bails. This was not the best conversation I've ever had with my mom, for example. Recently divorced, was like, I fought for this house and now it's going to the government, potentially. And once we go through that process, which sounds like super fun, doesn't it? Then we could be waiting for years before we go to trial. Or it could happen right away. I mean, it's hard to tell. This is the situation that we sit in right now. I know this is not a very bright picture. The three of us, however, have stood strong amongst this. And the thing that's made that really easy is because of the amazing things that has been done to defend us, and the people who are here today, and the people who have joined our movement to defend the activists that are being targeted, including myself. In Egypt, this is another place where we can see amazing fights that have happened. Historically, it's been proven that people can stand up. And we know that that is what we're going to continue to do. And we will be victorious as long as people continue to stand with us. Thank you.